When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott.
And I'm Ben. We are joined, as always, by our super producer, Noel 2017 Brown. And we want to give a shout out to our super editor, Dylan Redline Rev Fagan.
Redline Rev.
Redline Rev.
That's all right. We'll work on it.
It also sounds like maybe a pastor who has a secret vigilante nightlife where he's doing street racing.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe he's a DJ.
Redline Rev.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Redline Rev.
Redline Rev.
Oh, man. 2017, huh?
2017, yeah. So we're into it now, and I guess we should maybe a simple, smooth segue into today's topic, if that really has we've already crossed that bridge, haven't we?
No,
no smooth.
This is so smooth.
There is no smoothness to this one at all. I'm sorry about my voice as well, by the way. I'm starting the new year with a scratchy voice, but late last year, mm-hmm. I saw a 2017 Acura NSX that really made an impression on me. It was at a Ferrari dealer. I think I mentioned it, or I posted about it on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
There's a funny little story that goes along with this, and it ties in. It was something that was supposed to be at the end of one of our other episodes, and it got cut because of time. But I'll just briefly mention this now. And it's, again, just a strange coincidence, because we received a piece of listener mail from a guy that hadn't written to us for a couple of years. And this is the guy that is the he works with the Japanese consulate in Detroit. Do you remember this guy? His name is Bill S.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote into us about, I guess a year ago, and he wrote in again this year around the same time. He had a couple of other stories that we've mentioned these on air a couple of times, some of the other stuff that he brought up. But in this latest note, and he makes note that it was a year ago that he sent us something, he says he's got this whole grab bag of materials, and that was what I was going to include at the end of that last nuts and bolts we didn't get to. But one part of his note was mentioning that he said, in the last several months, I've seen not one but two NSX supercars on the road. Now, remember, this is in Detroit.
Yeah, so you're much more likely to see some rarities.
Yeah, probably. But the thing is, you would think that maybe it's like part of a competitive teardown or something like mm-hmm. that. Why would the big three have something like that? But
yeah,
there are also just a lot of car fans there, supercar fans. So he said, I've seen not one but two NSX supercars on the road. One was on the interstate in Northwest Ohio, where my wife and I passed it going the other way. Of course, there was no time for a picture, when you're headed the opposite direction. But he said it was just a few weeks before, or just a few weeks after, they had been delivering them for the public. So right when they were brand new, he saw one right in Detroit. And that, he's talking about the brand new one, the second gen. He said the other one was a classic NSX with antique plates on it, and that was in downtown Detroit, which I find this kind of funny. It had antique plates on an NSX. I guess they qualify, right? If it's an early enough model, because of 1991 or was it 1990? I can't recall. I have it in my notes.
We're getting old, man.
So anyways, he wanted to hear a little bit, or he was just talking about seeing these NSXs, and, you know, it's kind of an unusual sighting, and it's one of my favorites as well. Around the same time, I guess a little bit earlier, maybe a couple months earlier, Rudy Smith had written in and said that he thought it was interesting about the NSX now being made in the United States. Mm-hmm. They're made in Marysville, Ohio, at the Honda Performance Manufacturing Center in Marysville. And, you know, just had a quick note about, you know, American-made sports cars and supercars. He wants to hear an episode on that. And, okay, last part of this whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And this is leading into today's topic, of course. On my way home, I've been taking a different way home because I'm trying to avoid that crowded interstate that I talk about all the time.
And plus, when you first started talking about this plan, part of it was avoiding that holiday traffic.
Yes, yes. So that was something I took on maybe prior to the Thanksgiving holiday. You know, I thought, well, I'll try to find some back routes and figure this out. Well, I started going through these, like, little twisty roads, you know, back roads, and we're kind of in the – I guess we're in the foothills of the Appalachians, if you want to call it that. And when you get to, like, the northern part of our county here where, you know, Atlanta is. And I was driving through the twisty, I wouldn't call it mountain roads, but hilly roads.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to notice every day at one house there was a silver NSX parked there in the parking lot or in the driveway. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I just, you know, something to look at every day as I passed by. And it was interesting. I love seeing those cars and don't see very many of them. So another day, I was on the interstate, you know, had taken the other route home. It was a Friday or something where there should be no traffic, and there was a huge tie-up. And as I get to the front of the tie-up, I realize that there is a silver NSX that looked like it had either rolled over or driven under a truck or something like that.
Huh.
It was really badly mangled. I couldn't tell if anybody's hurt or anything, but there were four or five cars involved in this, and I was thinking, that's really weird. It's another silver NSX. I wonder if, and, you know, so as the next week or so as I was driving home on that same road, I noticed that, yeah, that car is not there anymore, so it's got to be the same person that owns that.
That's crazy.
I mean, there aren't that many here in the Atlanta area, and for it to be a silver classic NSX, it has to be the same one.
Let's find the guy. Let's hang out.
Yeah. I mean, but all this stuff is going on. And then I passed this this dealership with the new NSX.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it seems like it's been a month or month and a half of all NSX in my head, and I just can't get it out. So that's today's topic.
Today's topic, ladies and gentlemen, is the NSX. There is something I want to say before we move on here,
okay.
Scott.
I am sorry about the long lead-in, by the way.
No, this is great.
Okay.
This is great because it's all related.
Okay.
It's all tied in. And I wanted to explore this briefly with everybody. Have you heard of the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon?
I have, but yeah. I would guess that some of our listeners haven't. So it's something we discuss often here.
Yeah. How stuff works, for some reason, one of us will find just some interesting thing. It might be a little known car company in Scott and I's case, or it might be something where there's an interesting psychological quirk, just because we go through so much stuff in our day to day. Bader-Meinhof phenomenon is the proposed explanation for that weird feeling of synchronicity you might encounter. Like, let's say you wake up one morning and you have a song stuck in your head. That happens to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Say you wake up and Turn to Stone by ELO classic is playing in your head.
Oh, great. Now that's in my head.
Yeah, sorry, everybody. I should have thought that out. But anyway, later in the day, you hear it on the radio and you're like, whoa, what am I remembering the future?
Yeah.
And then maybe you start to see more Electric Light Orchestra stuff show up over the next few days.
Like a poster in your favorite bar or something.
Right.
Or
yeah.
Something like that.
Exactly.
It's something really weird that you'd never noticed before.
Right, right. And then another example of this might be that you hear a word for the first time, like a very specific, strange word.
Yeah, like synchronicity or something like that.
Yeah, there
we go. Something sort of unusual. You don't hear it often.
Mm-hmm.
But then you pass by a driving school or something. It's called,
yeah,
like Synchronicity Driving School or something like that. It just shows up here and there.
Right, right. And the explanation of this Bader-Meinhof phenomenon essentially says that when you hear about something for the first time, the experience of having like a highly meaningful coincidence, that's synchronicity, right? Mm. That's when someone calls you and you're like, oh, I was just thinking about you. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, how did you have my phone number, Lionel Richie?
I must have ESPN. It's an old joke, but I had to say it.
I must have ESPN too.
Oh, that's funny.
Sorry.
That's a different level.
But the point is that our brains like to recognize patterns. So what's happening, the argument is that Turned to Stone by Electric Light Orchestra or whatever, that poster was always in that restaurant or that bar.
Yeah.
And that Synchronicity Driving School was always on your way home. You just notice it now because your mind is looking for a pattern.
And the song is in the rotation for whatever radio station you listen to. It's just you hadn't really paid attention because it wasn't the one that you woke up to that morning or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's a little bit of a bias, a selective attention. Yeah. So maybe you were in the grips, my friend, of a serious case of Bader-Meinhof.
I think that's what it is. And this happens to me with cars, too. I mean, once I got my new car, I constantly see them on the road now. I noticed that there are four or five of them here in the building, you know, in the parking structure that
I saw one, too.
And I had no idea before that. I hadn't really paid attention to that vehicle, you know. And I guess if I bought a Buick or something, I would notice all of the new Buicks in the same garage. But it just goes that way. So you're probably right about the NSX. I bet that's what's got it stuck in my head. But maybe today will be somehow therapeutic and it'll kind of flush all this out of my mind. Mm-hmm. But we've been talking about the NSX for a long time here on this show, haven't we?
We have.
We went back in the archives and found our original Acura NSX show, which was on the first NSX, mm-hmm. and I think there was some I didn't listen to the whole thing, I'll be honest. I listened to some of it just to see what we were talking about, but at the very end, I would bet that we were talking about the new NSX that was supposed to come out because this episode, the first one, was recorded back in July of 2011. So,
oof.
Yeah, I know, and that's a long time ago. We were still car stuff at that time, so you know, we'd made the change over.
Yeah.
But you know, that's the thing about this car, and I've lamented about this on this podcast many times because I feel like, in a way, I feel like I was a little bit let down by the new NSX launch. And I bet a lot of people feel the same way, too. Because where are we going to start here? Because the first NSX was around from, what, about 1990 until about 2005. Mm-hmm. And then, so they canceled production. You know, it's done, and, you know, everybody was kind of, I think a lot of people were sad about this, right?
Right.
That, it's gone. It was a great car for all the reasons we talked about on that previous podcast.
But then, and like 2 years later?
Yeah.
In December 2007, Honda says, because, you know, this is called the Acura NSX here in the States, but it's called the Honda NSX other places. Honda said, all right, because you demanded it, NSX lovers of the world, we are going to launch a successor by 2010.
Yeah, we're going to bring it back in just 3 short years. And, you know, this is 2 years after the first one had gone away. So everybody gets kind of excited about it, right? They're all kind of geeked about this fantastic supercar coming back.
2010.
And it was affordable.
Semi-affordable.
I want to talk about price in a minute.
Because
they seem to match up pretty well. So here's the thing. It was supposed to be in 2010, but then in late 2011, we get mentioned then that it's going to be unveiled again in 2012. And they did do that in 2012. They had, I don't know, a big Super Bowl commercial. You know how things get put off, right?
Yeah.
So the production's delayed for whatever reason. I don't know if it was money. I don't know if it was interest. I don't know what it was, or materials, or change of direction. I couldn't tell you exactly. But it was supposed to be unveiled in 2012.
Oh, I have a theory, by the way, about some of the delays they encountered.
Okay, let's hear it.
I think part of it was because Honda's management wanted to somehow make it a more environmentally friendly car, and combining that technology in a way that doesn't significantly limit performance at that time. Tough.
I think. Okay. I also, since we're taking a small break here in the
chronology,
the ramp up. Yeah. I guess it's okay. I feel like they could have gone two different ways with this car.
Yeah.
And I think this is maybe where they decided to branch off into a different direction because, and I don't know if I've read this somewhere, if I was just thinking this or what, because I've read so much material about this in the last 3 weeks or so.
Uh huh.
They had the chance to maybe take it one way where they could just make it, again, like a semi-affordable, and I'll say that, because, you know, it's a sports car, so yeah. It'd be expensive anyways.
It's like comparatively affordable.
But they could have made it more like something a little more conventional than mm-hmm. what they did make it, as we'll talk about in a minute.
Right.
But or they could have gone kind of over the top and made it compete with other niche cars like, you know, Ferrari and some of the big, you know, the big dogs in the supercar game, right? So I think what they did was they decided that, yeah, that's the market we want to be in. We want to be competitive with them, and we want to have this advanced powertrain, and we want to have mm-hmm. advanced materials and all mm-hmm. that. We want to really go, I'd say, off the deep end, but that's not really the case. They want to push it to the limits, maybe, is what they did. They probably could have released it earlier had they gone more conventional.
You're absolutely right.
Well, so there's all this happening behind the scenes. We don't know exactly what was going on. But,
yeah, I interjected with my theory, but no, here we are, 2012.
Yeah, 2012, and they've got this big Super Bowl commercial, and it's got Jerry Seinfeld in it, and uh-huh. it's got Jay Leno in it. It's, you know, these are sports car guys. These are car mm-hmm. guys, really, in general. So, you know, it kind of gets you thinking, like, well, it's going to be on the road soon. You know, they're blowing big money on the Super Bowl ad, of mm-hmm. course. It's got to be soon. This is all the way back in 2012. Well, then we hear that there's like a three-year gap where we don't hear a whole lot.
Right. Oh, well, they do, in their defense, they do unveil a new generation NSX as a concept car.
Hmm. Okay.
So just as a concept at the North American International Auto Show.
And was that in 2015?
That was in 2012 that they had the concept.
Okay.
But then they enter that radio silence.
But do you see what I mean? Okay, the ramp up already at this point is 5 years plus. It's more than 5 years long.
It's a lot of hype.
Yeah, so how long can you keep the interest high in something like this? I know that the people that are really, you know, the people that have their checkbooks out and all they have to do is write in the number, they're excited. They're going to remain excited because they're going to watch all the news and keep up on this. And the people that are, I guess, super fans of this car, sure. I'm interested in them. I guess I would call myself an NSX fan, but I got to tell you, over the years, I've just kind of lost interest in it. And it's back again now that it's on the street. But the slow, slow buildup, it was something that I just couldn't get over. It took so long. You know, just lost all momentum.
The hype can kill things so easily. We can compare it to music, too. So for years and years and years, Guns N' Roses said they were going to come out with an album, Chinese Democracy. And eventually people just lost interest. For years and years and years, Dr. Dre said he was going to come out with a sequel to The Chronic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or he was going to call it Detox, that album. But eventually, you miss your shot. And it can happen in almost anything where you're creating a product for a mass of people. So let me just mention a couple other things they did to try to keep interest.
Okay.
During this gap.
All right. I'm being too critical, probably.
I think you're being fair.
All right.
So without knowing what the behind-the-scenes stuff was, which we can guess at a little of it, I think, in the Avengers movie, Blockbuster, came out September 2011.
Oh, yeah.
Iron Man the Robert Downey Jr. character was driving a car that was like based on the NSX, but, you know, gussied up for the film.
Hmm.
In 2013, this is the one that what would Peter Griffin say? This grinds my gears. Acura launched a thing on Facebook, which was an online configuration tool for NSX. So you could go onto your Facebook account and you could customize your imaginary.
Did you say 2013?
2013, dude.
Okay, all right. So 3 years before it ever actually made it to the showrooms.
At all, yeah.
Okay.
Because they don't, and then they make an announcement right around the end of the year in 2014.
Okay.
And they say, hey, remember that thing that we were going to bring out in 2010? It's coming in 2015.
All right. I totally get it that it takes a long time to develop something like this, but maybe you don't tease it, you know, for what it ended up being. It ended up being 9 years of tease, right?
9 years.
9 years of tease for this vehicle, and that's why I started to feel a little bit fatigued by this. You know, I was just kind of worn down, and anytime I would hear it or, you know, see anything about it, I would think like, okay, well, it's just, they're just talking about it again. Or you see it in commercials, you know, when they show the whole product lineup, they'd catch like, they'd have maybe like 3 seconds of that and then 27 seconds of the other product. Like, it's teasing you again, right?
The hype machine for this vehicle has been around longer than our show, my friend.
You're right. You're absolutely right. You're right. It has been. So, all right. So maybe enough of the negativity
because
they did come up with was a really interesting product. I mean, I've seen it in person.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to get into it or hear it or anything like that, but I've seen it in person. It's beautiful. There's a lot to it. I mean, just if you want to go down the quick specs and stats and all that,
specs.
I guess. All right, so it has a, let's see, it's mid-engine design, as you would expect.
Right.
3.5 liter twin-turbo V6,
mm-hmm.
9-speed dual-clutch semi-automatic, so there's no shifting again. I guess you do the paddle shifters.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some people don't like that. Some people do like that.
0 to 60 in just under 3 seconds.
Yeah, not bad. 2.9 seconds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Four-wheel drive. It's part of the SHAWD system, I guess, which stands for Super Handling All-Wheel Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a system that was designed and engineered by Honda Motor Company. You see that on other vehicles, the SHAWD.
Mm-hmm.
This is another one that has that. It has 3 electric motors.
Yep.
Which produce, what is it, like 73 extra horsepower, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
So combined, you know, with the engine producing 500 horsepower and the 3 electric motors all combined, 573 horsepower. Not bad. Top speed is 191 miles per hour. I don't know why that is a strange number to me, but 191 is the top speed.
Yeah.
It's electronically limited. I think it's just a conservative way for them to spare things like the tires, the brakes, the you know, all the stuff that could wear out if you're driving consistently above 191 miles an hour. Well, you know, I mean, there's
maybe
a calculation that goes into this.
Yeah.
I mean, why would they not just say it's 200 miles an hour? You know, they could bump it up 9 miles per hour. There must be a reason that they backed it down 9 miles from that. There has to be.
Maybe they were going to be buying the. Maybe they were going to make a deal to buy the tire company itself, and make specially made NSX only tires, and then purposely kick up the limit to the point where it would destroy the tires every time you drove. Right? That's just money.
Well, that would be money. Yeah, that'd be a smart move.
That's
right?
Probably also illegal.
I bet it would be. There are special tires for certain cars.
Well, yeah, of course.
Have to be. Yeah, for
of
the
course.
Max speeds.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on then. So there's also a new, what they call an ultra-rigid space frame body design.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like the skeleton of the car, if you want to think about it that way. Like everything hangs on that skeleton. And the skeleton is made of a few different things. Now, the first NSX was entirely aluminum. Aluminum body, aluminum engine. This one has aluminum, ultra-high strength steel, and then what they call other rigid and lightweight materials. Some of them, which are only first appearing in this vehicle for automotive use. I don't know exactly what that means or what some of these are, but I can tell you what the body skin panels are made of, and maybe that's some of it. I don't know.
Sure.
They're using thin sheet aluminum, which is hydroformed for some parts, and this is, you know, kind of here and there all over the vehicle. So I'm not going to break down exactly what panels are where, but there's carbon fiber that's used in the floorboards, and you can also get a optional carbon fiber roof if you want. There's also another material here that I find really interesting. It's called SMC, which stands for Sheet Molding Compound, and it is a high-grade glass fiber-reinforced polyester that is formed while it's heated and under pressure. So they use that for some of the body panels.
Mm-hmm.
There's also like other high-temperature resistant plastics that are used in real high-temperature areas, you know, like around the exhaust manifolds, things like that. So it's an interesting vehicle all around. The body is really it's interesting to look at from different angles because this thing has 10 functional air intakes on it. So the whole body is really, as they say it, kind of like sculpted for aerodynamics and performance. And
it looks fluid.
Yeah, some of it's for pass-through air, you know, so that the air flows over and around
right,
it and through
right.
it. But some of it, like I said, there are 10 functional intakes on this vehicle. So some of it is for cooling, of course.
So let's also continue this and let's talk a little bit about some of the initial reviews after a brief word from our sponsor.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Ben, you were mentioning before the break that we were going to hear some of the early reviews of this car, right?
Yes.
Positive, I hope.
Many are positive. One thing I saw that I thought you would that would crack you up, Scott, was there's a video you can find on YouTube that says, is the 2017 Acura NSX the world's slowest sports car?
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's a dubious honor, isn't it?
Why?
But in general, the reviews are pretty good. Motor Trend did their first drive review, and it was short on confidence, long on potential. And that was back in 2015.
Okay.
When they did that first drive. So one of the things they do, of course, is they talk about, you know, the delays in the vehicle, which I can understand, and just to be clear, like, Scott, obviously our objection is not over any mechanical delays or engineering delays. It's just, like, don't hype it. Why do we live in a world, man, where if a movie's coming out in 2019, don't give me a teaser in, like, 2014.
Yeah.
Just don't tell me about it.
Yeah,
until summer.
I guess maybe that's the thing, is that if they had waited until, let's say, 2015 auto shows to release this thing and say, like, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
That would have been a little different. Then the anticipation would have been a little higher for it, maybe.
So what they found is that the they go over some of the stats here. They note that you can hear the turbos while you're driving, but you won't believe they're actually there. The relationship between your right foot and the engine's output is so incredibly linear, you'd swear on your life that the NSX's engine was naturally aspirated. And then at higher speeds, of course, the motor's output is going to drop relative to the gas engine, and you feel some lag, they say, but only if you're looking for it. And they say that's the proper way of dealing with turbo lag in a supercar. Ferrari, take note.
So wait, is this the same reviewer that called this the slowest supercar?
No, that's different.
Okay.
I wanted to put in one, like, negative Nancy.
All right,
there.
Didn't seem like it was
matching
up.
No.
Motor Trend is overall
pretty favorable. They note they like the design. They say inside and out. They say they've got a couple choice lines here. One is the first thing you notice inside the NSX is you can actually see the outside. So,
I read something about that. The visibility is better in this one than it was in the previous NSX.
Yes, yep.
Something like, and they rated it. It was like 36%. 36% better visibility from this one versus the first gen NSX.
Right, and these are pretty in depth with
Well, it's got a backup camera, too.
Right, it's got a backup camera.
That helps. That really helps in a car like this.
I think in some cars like this, it's really a necessity.
Almost essential. Yeah.
Gotta let Jesus take the wheel.
Have you ever seen anybody reverse an old Lamborghini Countach? You have to open the doors and hang out the side. It's a funny process, but that's how you have to do it. You can't see to back this thing up, so... It's comical. You'll see some people online doing it, and they've got the gullwing door open, or not gullwing, the scissor door open, and they're leaning way out. It looks like they're trying to do some kind of trick or something. You know, it's absurd how they have to back these things up. It's crazy. It's almost like you're in danger of falling underneath your own car while you're backing it up. If that makes sense, as the driver, unless you have somebody guiding you in, which is a huge help.
So overall, they say that the NSX is what happens when the world's most rational car company builds the world's most irrational vehicle, a supercar. And they said that, sure, the original NSX started and ran, and it was comfortable, and it went 100,000 miles without anything significant breaking, but it also famously wore out its rear tires by the time it got to the grocery store.
Well, whose fault is that? Come on, that's the driver's fault. Now, you know what? I've got something that ties in exactly with that.
Yeah?
That's all right.
What's that?
All right, so sorry if I'm interrupting your reviews here, but this comes from Automobile Magazine nearly a year ago. It says that – oh, and this is kind of interesting. They used, way back in the beginning, Acura bought two Ferrari 458 coupes for benchmarking purposes to mold or pattern this car after it, to say this is what we want to shoot for to be better than this.
Yeah.
So they bought two of them. Again, Ferrari 458 coupes. One of them was supposed to be torn down for, just to kind of study the manufacturing process and understand what makes that thing tick, right? And the other one was reserved for performance testing against whatever they created. So it's kind of funny. I guess Automobile did an interview with somebody, an Acura spokesperson, at the Detroit Auto Show last January, so 1 year ago. And the person said that it turns out the 458s didn't hold up so well to Acura's barrage of tests. He said, and this is a quote, "That thing broke left and right throughout testing. As you can imagine, the NSX will hold up much better in typical Honda fashion." So dependability, durability is something they built into this, knowing that the competition, what they're shooting for, was continually breaking down. And I got to say, if they're testing it on racetracks and, things like that, wherever they were testing, I think they were doing laps at the Nürburgring and, more than that, I'm sure, but, stuff like that. If it's breaking during that, that's not a good sign, really.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't hold up to, whatever. One other thing that this article points out, and they mention just a quick paragraph here, and I'll be done. It says that as much as things have changed since the first NSX rocked the supercar world sideways back in the early 1990s, they've also stayed the same to some degree. While exotic supercars have absolutely come a long way in the last 25-plus years, they're still a fair bit more temperamental than your average sports car. So they're kind of setting you up front here to say, and it's still a supercar, so be wary of it there. But they say if the new NSX carries the same reputation for reliability as the original, we could see history repeating itself in the way that people really, really appreciate this vehicle. And this is exciting news. Also in the same article, it says, "We also learned that the Acura NSX isn't a one-trick pony. We can expect different NSX models to follow the debut of the hybrid coupe." So they say they might be higher performance variants or alternate body styles that may come out.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, okay, but you know what? They've already got the basis, right?
Yeah, you're right. Maybe it's way easier.
And if they're talking about maybe like removing the hybrid part of it or making one all electric or, whatever. It doesn't say that in this article, but, if they're promising – higher performance variants or alternate body styles, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
From the get-go, they knew that the NSX wasn't, they weren't going to build just one car and then leave it be. So Acura has something planned, or Honda has something planned for the Acura brand.
Yeah. And this, this for a lot of people, is just amazing news as long as it actually happens. And Scott, I like your optimism there when you say that, maybe this is the hard part. Maybe the rest is just... A little bit of remixing, right?
Yeah. Some refining, some developing.
Yeah, and we also want to talk about what we've been teasing earlier, which is the price of this vehicle. And we'll get to that after a word from our sponsor.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
and catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Ben, you hinted that we were going to talk about some pricing issues here. So
where the rubber hits the road.
All right. Well, I actually got this figured out here because I've done the price comparison, as I love to do in these these podcasts. And
yeah.
I've got some good news. It's actually not so bad. It's not bad news.
Oh.
All right. So here's what you'll read about them, I guess, or what you'll hear about them. And by the way, you can still pick up, you know, these early first gen cars, in the ballpark of $30,000. They're not much more, maybe a little bit more in some cases, a little bit less in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on condition and mileage and all that, but, they're not completely unattainable at this point. You know, they weren't really unattainable then, but anyways, let's get into the pricing and we'll sort all this out. So back when these things were first launched in 1990, I think is a 1991 model year maybe.
Uh-huh.
And I'll ballpark this with just kind of a general number here. Because I know that options and other stuff, you know,
sure,
special packages came around. But it was right around $60,000 for a brand new NSX in 1991. That was when it was brand new.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time it was done in 2005, that price had jumped up to $90,000. So that's significant, right? That's a 50% increase in price.
Yeah.
And that has a lot to do with, you know, a revamp that happened where they upped the engine size and horsepower, and there was a restyle and everything. So there's some of that going on there too. But here's the not so bad news about that. If you take that $60,000 and you convert that into $2016 dollars,
mm-hmm,
that was right around $111,000. Okay, so in back then, if you were to buy a brand new one in 1991, it'd be the equivalent of buying a car today. It was $111,000.
Right.
All right. So that's not the price of the new one. The new one, sticker price is it's a little bit higher than that. Now, this is kind of weird, but if you look at the $90,000 that it jumped up to over those, 14 years?
Mm-hmm.
$90,000 in 2005 is equal to $111,000. It stayed the exact same proportional price,
which is kind of cool,
over its 14 years.
Yeah,
it's not bad, right? I mean, it just maintained with inflation, I guess.
I would
take
that as good news.
Yeah. It seems completely fair in this case. Now, I know that, you know, it's kind of high price, but if you look at, you know, like any of the modern day sports cars, I guess, like, you know, Corvette or whatever,
sure.
They're still expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. That's what kind of makes them a little bit exclusive and, you know, maybe, I don't know, it buys you all the toys that you want. Let's just put it that way.
one of the top ranked competitors, just by way of comparison, be the 2017 Audi RS7.
Yeah.
And, that price is probably going to be like $118,000, $118,500.
Yeah, and that's today, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's but again, that's going back to 2005 for the original NSX. So today's price is a little bit higher, and
yeah.
I think that's again, we talked about that divide where they decided they wanted to go a little bit more niche market,
right?
And adding the hybrid technology, the three motors, you know, the advanced materials, and all that. I mean, it bumps the price up. So we're looking at an MSRP price right now for a base, no options vehicle, right off the line, around $156,000. That's ballpark. I mean, it's you know. What you're going to pay with no options, no anything, you know, it's going to be more than that with, you know, destination charges and tax and title and all that other stuff they add in. The one that I saw a month or so ago, it was on that Ferrari dealership lot, and it was priced at, I think it was like $197,990. So $198,000.
Wow. Yeah.
And we had figured that, you know, someone just probably bought it early.
Yeah.
They put something, I think it was like 436 miles on it. And
yeah.
Then they traded it in.
And well, let's not forget, too, so many people have been, as the young kids like to say, so many people have been thirsty for this vehicle for so long that as soon as it was a real thing, folks were hitting up dealerships ready to cut a check sight unseen and just wait for it to arrive.
Yeah, there's high demand for this car. Now, I mean, despite what we were talking about before, you know, the wait from 2007 until today, there is high demand for this car, and Acura says, you know, they're building them as fast as they can, I guess, maybe to get them out the door. You know, Ben, I think we should talk about the first vehicle that came off the line, because that was the one that everybody wanted, right? And there were rumors that it was going to go to, you know, this celebrity or that
celebrity. VIN number one.
Yeah, so what happened was there was actually an auction. And the auction happened earlier this year, or in 2016, I should say. The first production vehicle with the, you know, VIN number 001 was auctioned off by Barrett Jackson Company on January 29th of 2016, so very early this year. That's long before they were coming off the assembly line, because I think they started that in around June of 2016. The person who had the winning bid for that car was NASCAR team owner Rick Hendrick, and his bid was $1.2 million for this vehicle.
Well,
but of course, okay, here's the other thing. You know, he's a car guy, of course. Has a lot of money to spend, of course.
Right.
You know, it gets his name out there again. You know, just keeps him in the public eye, I guess. And it's a very good cause, because all of the proceeds from that bid were donated to a charity called the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation and Camp Southern Grounds. So it went to a good cause.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, helping children. And then, you know, so that was the very first one early in the year. And, of course, he was there to drive it away, which, of course, you'd be there for, you know, something monumental like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Photo op, of course.
Yeah.
And then I think it was May or June when the production vehicle started to roll off the line in Ohio, in Marysville, Ohio, somewhere around there. So mid-year.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, people are really excited about this car. I mean, they're selling them like hotcakes.
I think,
an old saying, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they're more popular than hotcakes.
Did I get that one right?
You got it. You knocked that one out of the park,
boy,
man.
I got to study these.
Yeah,
these sayings, these idioms.
Did you look at your idiom sheet?
No, I should cheat. I should just bring some in that are written down, but I never cheat, and then I end up flubbing every one.
Oh man, I feel you, because I went through this phase where I was looking for idioms in other languages, and there's some stuff that just does not translate.
No.
A lot of it I can't really say on air, but I'll tell you a few choice ones if anybody wants to write to me.
Some of them sound more like Irish toasts, maybe?
Yeah, just so. One thing I'm curious about, too, that this brings up is this being a hybrid sports car, it's not the first of its kind.
No.
But I want to know what you think, listeners, folks out there. Is a hybrid sports car something that you are for or again? Are you for it or again it? I personally think there's a lot of potential, but there's still a ways to go. And this is, you know, this is by all means a competent car. Some of the first driver reviews talked about how they felt the steering really needed some work. Mm-hmm. But I personally am not persuaded until the technology is a little further along, mm-hmm. a little seamless, because, you know, when I think of a sports car, I always think of just a big, thirsty internal combustion engine.
Yeah, you think more conventional.
Right, that's this. What
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I know. It's tough to accept something like this as a supercar. And the same thing with the LaFerrari and, you know, the other companies,
yeah.
the McLaren that does the same thing. You know, there's a few of them in this realm right now, you know, that are hybrid supercars.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be interesting to see kind of a shootout between all of them to see who does best and what they like, what they don't like. And
yeah.
But again, you can't put them in the same price bracket because, again, what does that Ferrari cost? It's like $2 million or something, right? The LaFerrari?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to ballpark that. It's probably $2 million or maybe even more. This is less than $200,000. You know, so it's a tenth of the price. I don't know. I don't know if you can lump that into the same.
$1.416 million for the 2015 LaFerrari.
Oh, okay. So I was off by about $600,000 or $700,000.
Oh, what's a little bit of change between friends?
Well, you could buy, just for instance, you could buy three more NSXs with the difference that I thought.
Pass the savings on to you.
That's right. That's what a deal.
Yeah. You know, that's a good point. That the price points put them in different sub brackets. So can we really compare them? It becomes an apples to oranges thing at some point, despite the fact that they're all hybrid sports cars.
And here's the other angle to this too. If I were to, you know, step into this car and drive it, I would instantly fall in love no matter what, because I'm not accustomed to driving a car that's $156,000 and costs, and is a world-class supercar like this. You know, I've never really had that experience, you know, that, it wouldn't be like my daily driver, of course, but, I would appreciate every little bit of that car if I were to have it. And someone else who maybe had an experience in other cars that were similar might say, well, I don't really like this compared to my McLaren that I had, you know, last month, or, you know, that LaFerrari that I drove last year.
Yeah.
At the track. You know, when I was at the Nürburgring driving the LaFerrari. No, that accent doesn't work. I shouldn't do that.
I think you could keep it. You can work on it. 2017, man, the horizon stretches before us. You know, we can do accents.
All right. Is that even an accent when I go, I was driving my LaFerrari at the Nürburgring?
I don't know. No.
Yeah.
It's a voice. It's a character.
It is a character. Maybe a character we could develop, I guess.
Yeah, you need like a, what do you call them? Those
an ascot.
Yeah.
I need an ascot.
In my head, those are fancy ties. I was like, you need a fancy
yeah,
tie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's true, though, that despite the weight and despite the hype that could have killed it, the vehicle that Honda delivered is pretty, I'll say it, I think it's pretty badass.
Yeah.
I am, you know, even though I'm a little stodgy about hybrid supercars in general, this seems to be competently executed. It seems to be a lot of what people wanted. I want to hear from our Acura NSX owners from like the early days, first gen guys.
Oh, yeah, if the first gen guys are excited about it, because I guess that'd be a true test, right? Are they willing to jump on board with the new stuff and give
right.
this new one a try? Are they excited about it, or would they rather see it go back more conventional? And the other one wasn't exactly conventional, but it was more conventional than this one. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it was less unconventional.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was, you know, something you could, well, I'm not going to say that you could fix it in your garage, but, you know.
That's the thing, man. Yeah. Maybe that's what bugs me a little bit about hybrid sports cars. So it gets to the point where you're even less likely to have garage fixes.
Can I mention one more thing that I don't know why this kind of bugged me a little bit about this car, but when I looked inside, because I, you know, you're dazzled by the outside. It's beautiful, right?
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. It's an amazing car. It looks fantastic. I put my face up to the window there, you know, blocked all the light and looked inside, and I got to tell you, I was underwhelmed. Just didn't look like what I thought it was going to look like inside. And I think that I'm just used to the maybe overly ornate supercar interiors that you see with the quilted seats and the knobs and dials everywhere and everything. This was very, very simple. There's no real shift knob because the paddle shifters are up at the steering wheel.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it looks nice inside. It looks really clean, very classy, but it just doesn't have that look to me. It doesn't have like that overly complicated, like this is a special experience when you're driving this type of feel to or look to it. I know that if I were to climb in it and sit down, I would probably have a completely different impression. Like, it would probably envelop you just perfectly, you know, like it would fit just right. It's just, when you see it the first time, it's kind of like, well, you look at it and you say, well, that's it? You know, it's like I don't know. It seems like my Volkswagen is a little bit more appointed, I guess, if you want to call it that, than this even. But it's a different thing. It's not the same seats. It's not the same materials. It doesn't have the same maybe it's designed like that on purpose. Maybe it's supposed to be kind of austere and that, you know, it's easy to drive, but it's just an incredible machine.
The focus is more on performance.
That might be it. I mean, it could be. They don't need all the extra, you know, stuff there, you know, the ornamentation that goes on it. It's just it's a giant slayer, really. I mean, for the price, you know?
Yeah, that's a good phrase. And we are going to be on the hunt for the silver Acura NSX that we mentioned at the top of the show.
Ben, I have a dream that I someday will own a first-gen NSX, and they're kind of getting not yet. They're not yet like affordable toy. It'd still have to be a daily driver, unfortunately.
Right.
But if they drop to that level, then, you know, as like maybe the affordable toy range for me.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that'd be
kinda
so much fun.
Kind of bide your time, man.
I would love it, because I spot them in traffic here and there.
Stop wasting all that money on a 401k and get the NSX.
Yeah, that's wise advice, real wise advice.
I'm full of something. but we are gonna head out today. We hope you're having a wonderful first few days of the new year, and if you'd like to catch up on some previous NSX information, you can check out our deep cut, oldie but a goodie, on the 2011 episode on the origin story of the Acura NSX or the Honda NSX by visiting our website, carstuffshow.com, where we have not one, not three, not 17, not 400, but every single audio episode we have ever done.
We are approaching 800 now. I don't know. I don't know exactly where we fall right now.
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
We're getting up there.
We should do something cool.
Okay. We say that every time, but then it usually just passes with kind of a with a fizzle because we don't know where we are on the schedule exactly.
Right.
It's tough.
It'd be cool. We could go hot air balloon racing. Okay, that just seems like the most ridiculous idea. But
so slow.
Yeah, so slow. I'm still trying to figure out how to get inside that blimp that flies over town.
Yeah.
That I am not joking about. That would be cool.
We did get one listener response from somebody.
We did.
It was just a sighting.
Yeah.
That happened to happen, I don't know, about a week before we had talked about it.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Getting closer.
Yeah, 2017. That's, you know what? How about that? That's one of my goals for 2017. I'm going to get us in a blimp.
Wait. Us?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or just me.
Maybe. We'll see.
I can probably talk Dylan and Nolan to go in with me.
I might go.
Okay. But
I don't know why it seems like a risk to me. How many blimp crashes or Zeppelin crashes have you heard of in the last 80 years?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Too soon.
I'm kidding.
I think it was 80 ago, right? Or 80 years ago?
Yeah.
Ballpark?
Hindenburg was late 30s.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to get possibly just myself into a blimp, ladies and gentlemen, and see. Maybe I can even film something up there.
You have to allow. They have to allow you to control that light up board on the bottom, where you can, you know, send messages to people on the ground.
Oh gosh, yeah,
they have to.
The power. I'm dizzy with it already.
Now, it's like the beggars can't be choosers thing. You know, it's like you go up there and you're like, here, could you load this into the system?
Okay,
and then fly over this house.
This is so dumb, but I have this list of ridiculous dreams/pranks I would want to do that are just extravagant and stupid. And one of them is, you know how folks will pay to have the propeller plane service where it has a message that trails behind the plane?
Oh, sure.
It's usually something like super romantic, or it's it's like someone asking to get married, or it's like an advertisement for a big event.
Yeah, sometimes there's those giant banners that look way too big for the plane.
Yeah. I want to have one of those, and I want it to be like a blasé statement that doesn't matter. It'd be like, tomatoes are okay. Or it's like, I like sandwiches.
It'll probably make headlines.
It probably will. Yeah. Local imbecile pays.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Today's puzzler. Who paid for this?
Yes, right. So that's one of my dreams, but I'm going to do the blimp first. And I'd like to hear if you have any auto or vehicle resolutions for 2017. Is this year going to be the year when you finally finish that project car? Is this year going to be the year when...
Are you looking at me?
No.
Did you just gestured to me when you said that? Because my wife says the same thing.
Perhaps it was a nod of acknowledgement. But
I don't think so.
I'm not trying to bust your chops, man.
Okay.
Much. But the things we want to hear, you know, it could be as simple as the epic road trip you want to take, or this year is the year I'm buying a new car. Let us know. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, where we are Car Stuff HSW. You can take a page from your fellow listeners' book and write to us directly with your experience with the Acura NSX, the older one or the new one, or a suggestion for an upcoming episode, or heck, if you're feeling generous and want to help me get a leg up on the year, an invitation to hang out with you on a blimp.
You're always going to plug that through that the whole year and see what happens. Someone's bound to hear it.
I think we'll just get people. I think some of our longtime listeners will write in and probably personally tell me to shut up about
it. No, I don't think so. I think they're gonna help you in this effort.
Well, we'll see. And if you're helping me, help me convince my co-host here to get over his fear of blimps.
I don't know about a fear of blimps. So just okay, I've got a fear of blimps.
Why won't you go up in this incredibly flammable machine with me? Anyway, you could write to us with all that and more. We are
CarStuff at HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.